Focus on the Family on AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Sculptera Winery and Sculpture Garden. The Frankel family and staff invite you to visit their beautiful world and taste their award-winning estate wine. Open daily 10 to 5 on Lanay Road in Paso Robles.
I realized this early on when my kids were not doing what I wanted them to do, was that God wanted me to obey first.
This is Focus on the Family Minute, and that's Amber Leah sharing very candidly about a lesson God taught her in her parenting.
And my obedience looked like not losing my temper, not being quick to anger, being slow to speak, right? Yeah. Quieting contention, becoming more of a peacemaker myself. Really just, Amber, stop being rude to your child. Just because they're being rude to you, you don't need to dish it back to them. And so it had to start with me. You know, I had to get that self-control activated, you know, through the Holy Spirit and work on myself first. It was the log in my eye before I started working on the speck in my child's.
God can teach us so many things as we raise our children. Hear more encouragement from Amber Leah and her friend Wendy Speak when you visit familyminute.org.
Focus on the Family on AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Sculptera Winery and Sculpture Garden. The Frankel family and staff invite you to visit their beautiful world and taste their award-winning estate wine. Open daily 10 to 5 on Lanay Road in Paso Robles.
As the markets have their ups and downs, real estate remains one of the most stable assets in everyone's portfolio. Hi, this is Cindy Mims, owner broker of Colony Mortgage, voted best mortgage company in North County 3 years running. We offer conventional FHA, VA, and reverse mortgages and 100% purchase loans for first-time home buyers. Are you a builder and tired of the red tape when dealing with banks and expensive hard money loans? I have a great new option. Or are you 62 years or older? You can possibly eliminate your monthly mortgage payment and get cash in your pocket. At Colony Mortgage, we have hometown service with competitive rates. We have years of experience with creative financing to find that right loan for you. If it's credit issues stopping you, let us help. We move from our 20-year Atascadero location and now offer two convenient locations to meet personally in Atascadero and Paso Robles. Call 805-466-3598. Thank you for supporting your local businesses.
Hello everyone, this is Dora Carey with Orange Dot Quilts. My little shop recently moved to a larger location and the space is already brimming with gorgeous fabric, new patterns, kits, finished quilts, gifts, and so much more. Stop by to check out the new shop located at the corner of 10th and Pine in Paso Robles, right across from the police station. We are open Tuesday to Saturday from 11 to 5. At Orange Dot Quilts, we offer not only fabric but also sewing inspiration and quilting advice, and we are always happy to see you.
Paul Harvey's The Rest of the Story, brought to you by Frontier Floors and Window Coverings at 830 21st Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-7878 or online at frontierfloors.net.
The Rest of the Story. Used to be fun working on the old cars in the old days when a screwdriver, an adjustable wrench, and a pair of pliers would fix almost anything. It was fun to touch up paint when a sander, some filler, and a bit of elbow grease erased dings and restored like new luster. Nowadays, cars are too complicated under the hood for us shade tree mechanics, and the new cars are now painted at the factory electrostatically. Did you know that? The car moves into an enclosure where the metal is charged in a manner that attracts the paint spray as a magnet might, and so that it gets sucked onto the metal surface completely, evenly, perfectly. Cliff Reeves of Macon, Georgia, is undaunted by all of this sophistication. He has devised a most extraordinary hands-on human technique for removing pockmarks and scars and scratches from even these newest cars, and with the same degree of perfection as the sophisticated electrostatic systems. His technique is the rest of the story. In a garage in Warner Robins, Georgia, Cliff Reeves needs factory help only in identifying the exact code number of the original paint or the customer's preferred paint. You would be amazed, he said, at how many shades of white there are. After the customer confirms his choice of color, the challenge becomes keeping the paint spray equidistant from the curving surfaces of today's streamlined models. He uses an ingenious framework of string stretched over and around the circumference of the car. These will guide his hand so that the spray will travel precisely the same distance over the convex and concave surfaces. For his own convenience, Cliff also follows a guide bar along the floor with his toe. Cliff's always enjoyed cars. He's working now on a 72 240Z sports car, loving every minute of it. First, with a 36 grit and a sander, he removes dings and scuffs and scratches. Actually, he removed about 80% of the old paint on this particular job. Then the filler is applied and smoothed to factory perfection. Then he masks the chrome with a masking tape. And then, in order to get his precision finish, which has other car body people standing around watching in awed amazement. Now, understand, many of these others are more than reasonably proficient at controlling paint spray with professional preciseness, though none so deftly as does Cliff Reeves. And the whole secret is the time he is willing to invest in advance of the prime coat and the finish coats, stringing that string. The string attaches to poles, becomes a web, which at all points is precisely 14 inches from the surface. The strings are attached to four old brake drums at the corners of the car, thus to allow for the irregularity of the car streamlining. I'm not describing the guide string construction very well, but believe me, it works very well, and the finished job done by a human hand is altogether as perfect as that which is performed by factory robots with all of their electrostatic controls. Eventually, Cliff hopes to open an auto body shop where he can expedite his procedures and do this work full time. Right now, Cliff is only 18. And right now, he is a full-time student at the Georgia Academy for the Totally Blind. Now you know the rest of the story.
This hour of Sound Off on KPRL brought to you by the Book Heating and Air, your local, reliable heating and air expert. Call 805-423-5119.
238-5775. 238-KPRL. Sound Off continues on KPRL, the North County's number one choice for news, talk, and sports. This is Sound Off on the right choice, KPRL.
Welcome back to Sound Off. My name is Karen Veeley. I'm the host of Sound Off on Wednesday and Thursday afternoons. Now, tomorrow I am going to have Mike Brown on talking about, we're going to be discussing things at the Board of Supervisors, and it has been, this week was not as crazy. Last week's board meeting, I will say, was the wildest board meeting I have ever watched before. We'll be talking a little bit about different government issues, so tune in tomorrow at 12:30 till 2. And today I have Mike Nolan, attorney, Eric Gorham, a political insider, and he is also with a Madrone Landscaping, the premier landscaping company in the area. And we are discussing the assassination attempt on former President Trump, and basically all the craziness that's occurred because of it. The way that people, you know, the conspiracy theories. First, Eric, what have you heard for conspiracy theories?
The first one I heard, I got a phone call, and they said, so do you think Trump staged the whole thing? And I said, what do you mean, the whole assassination? I go, well, two people are dead, right? And they said, yeah. So I go, you believe Trump murdered these two people in order to advance a fake story about assassination? Well, he might have done that. And I said, I mean, how ridiculous do you have to be? And on top of that, you know, nobody would ever figure out that you murdered two people to advance that kind of a theory. So I think there's just weird story, and I've heard weirder than that. That was just the first one that came at my footsteps, you know, that was somebody brought to me and said, do you think he did it? You know, and it was like, are you crazy? You know, there's people that are critically injured. There's people injured. That's a pretty big gamble to advance such a weird story, such a crazy thing.
And what about you, Mike? What's the weirdest story that you've heard?
Well, I've heard friends of mine or family members suggesting the Secret Service was a grand conspiracy, including the Secret Service.
You're a little harder to hear. You're a little harder to hear. Okay.
Okay, that there was a grand conspiracy by the Secret Service and the law enforcement to allow this guy to get off his rounds of shots at President Trump. The important thing to remember is never if something can be explained by someone being stupid or incompetent, that's probably better than an explanation that they have some grand strategy that they're maliciously working on. And I would say this, that the argument against the conspiracy by the Secret Service or the government or the FBI would be, oh, we found out that the Iranians had are targeting Trump now. We didn't know right. that until after they shot him.
Right.
Yeah, I would say, yeah, if it was a grand conspiracy, I remember, you know, the shooter would have shown up at the Iranian, they'd have evidence of him being at the Iranian UN embassy in New York, or that he had become a Muslim, or something like that, that he was, and I, you know, I remember Lee Harvey Oswald, oh, he had, we have photographs of him going into the Russian embassy in Mexico City. Oh, he was really circulating pamphlets to Fair Play for Cuba in New Orleans a month before the assassination of John F. Kennedy. And, you know, when you look at that, you'd say, well, there's two kinds of people that would be doing this. Handing out leaflets to unwilling passerbys about Cuba. One would be you're a complete moron, or two, you're an asset for the CIA trying to worm yourself into the far left underground. You know, I'm waiting for if there was a giant conspiracy, they would be tying it all up in a bow right now. And that hasn't happened. I do think that the Secret Service was lackadaisical. Mm-hmm. I think the guys that were or complacent would be the word. I think the sharpshooters on the roof, they don't shoot on their own. I would be surprised. They're reporting to someone who's in charge of the overall thing. The overall defense of the perimeter, and they don't fire until they get an order from somebody to take a guy out, or the guy starts shooting. I think someone was very complacent who was in charge of the Secret Service. I was catching up on your news item where the local police were saying, "Hey, we were under direction of the Secret Service, and we were doing traffic control. That was our job."
Right.
Welcome to Sound Off. What would you like to ask our guests today?
You know, this is all interesting to me. I have a friend. I worked law enforcement for 25 years, and I qualified with that same weapon that he was using there. And 148 yards is a minuscule amount of space there. I don't know what kind of scope he had on it. Even with the peep scope, he should have hit. Also, too, if he was in the military or if he'd been in law enforcement, he's always taught to shoot for center mass because of the fact the head bobs way too much. But I was talking to a friend of mine who was a scout sniper, and he'd worked with the Secret Service, and he was saying in their procedures, it says that anything within a rifle range, and that would be like three times longer than what that situation is, no roof will be uncovered. It will be covered by an armed officer, and that's right in their procedures. So they left the roof uncovered. This kid happened to find the roof. What's the chances of that? Had a ladder with him, got up there, not noticed, and then got a round off. Is that incompetence or is that planned?
And wearing
the procedures say the roof will be covered.
Yeah, and wearing camo, I can see if you're carrying that ladder with a safety vest on. But when you're you got your ladder, your rifle, and you're wearing camo going up on a roof, and yeah, I've heard the same thing where every roof is supposed to be covered, and even beyond that boundary. So it is kind of interesting that he was able to get up there and get a round off, and that's a hard
one.
Sounds
like to me, Eric, that he had help. To be honest with you, he had help. Somebody in local law enforcement or someone said that this is not going to be covered, and, this is the ingress and egress.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the ladder stacked over here. Bring your weapon. The only thing he didn't do that I thought might have been a better camouflage is if he showed up with a blue uniform on that said police on it with you know, some of the best of police on it. Now, if he would have done something like that, like, you know, like the Godfather movies, it'd be different. But, you know, 2.2, I think he had a 5.56, which was the same as 2.23, but just a little more powerful, military grade.
Okay.
If he would have hit center mass on Donald Trump, that would have been it for him.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a bigger, way bigger target.
Thank you very much for calling in. What? Go ahead.
Let me just say, people say, how did he, you know, how could he miss? Well, I think the local police officer who was hoisted up onto the roof and looked at him, and the shooter looked at him and pointed the gun at him, and as the report said, the officer fell back. He had mm-hmm. both hands on the roof looking at that. I think the shooter believed, oh, the game's up, I have to start shooting. And he started shooting before he took close aim. He just started shooting as quickly as he could. And I think that had an impact on why so many bullets missed President Trump.
Yeah, the panic kind of set in, and he had to do the job. And, probably wasn't had him quite in the scope the way he should just because of the panic.
And he wasn't a good shooter. Remember, he tried to join a shooting club when he was in high school, and they kicked him out because he was such a bad shot.
What was his age, anyway? Do we know what his age was? Or?
20.
He was born in September. He'd be 21 the next month, September 20th. No, I was going to say he did join there was a local gun club or shooting range that he was a member of. And so I would think that if he had more time, he would have had just a few more seconds.
Right.
I think he would have made a hit.
Well, the interesting part, too, that I thought right after all this happened is we didn't know the shooter's name, but media across the nation was all saying he was a Republican. We don't have his name yet, but he's a Republican. And I have programs in my phone. I can look up anybody I want to find out, but I need one little bit of information where they live and what their name is, you know, or a county or a city, not exactly where they live, but I can pull that up on GOP data and the Dems can do it on theirs, but you can't do it without his name, you know? So I found that interesting, the reporting, you know, that first hour after the assassination attempt that it was a Republican, but we don't know his name.
But remember, he wasn't eligible to vote in the last presidential election. And I have not seen when he became a Republican. And because if you've decided to take Donald Trump out, you will mask your identity by, I'm a Trump supporter.
Well, I know we had an incident here a few years ago, and it was with the Dems, and another Dem maced them, but I the person that maced him was a registered Dem. Was he a Dem? I can guarantee you he wasn't. I know who it was. So it's not uncommon for people to kind of mask what you were just saying, Mike, mask who they were and register under the other party, etc.
Right. He only registered in the last couple of years at the earliest. And it wouldn't surprise me. And this, he didn't wake up the morning of the 13th and say, I think I'm going to go over there. He'd been planning this for some time. And there's more to find out. There's a deeper thing. This is going to go on this issue is going to suck a lot of the information out in the campaign. Voting starts in California, you know, the first week in October. Mm-hmm. That's about 80 days away.
Right.
And it's not to mention that, September 11th or something like that, that Donald Trump's going to be sentenced on his case, that bogus case out of New York City. So there'll be interesting things going on.
We have about
Uncle
5
Joe
seconds
is still
left.
Going to be in trouble.
We have about 5 seconds. We need to take a word from our sponsors, and we will be back with more with Mike Nolan and Eric Gorham.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Lauren Simonetti, and this is the Fox Business Report.
Stocks ending mixed with the Dow closing higher and above the 41,000 level for the first time ever for its third straight record close. But the tech-heavy Nasdaq tumbled, suffering its worst day since late 2022, weighed down by mega-cap tech companies and chip stocks. Investors continue to rotate to small-cap stocks from mega-cap names and also worry over further trade restrictions on the semiconductor industry. And shares of Johnson & Johnson rose 4%. The pharmaceutical giant beat expectations for its second quarter earnings, but the company did lower its annual earnings guidance. The Dow winners today, United Health Group, Johnson & Johnson, and Home Depot. The Dow decliners, Apple, Microsoft, and Amazon. The Dow rising 244 points. The NASDAQ down 512. S&P 500 lower by 79. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
Donald Trump Jr. here. Since January of 2021, the cost of living has increased by 17.9%. You can't get that money back, but you can stop your losses by diversifying into a gold IRA from my friends at Birch Gold Group. To learn more, get your free info kit on gold IRAs by texting the word SHELTER to 989898. That's SHELTER to the number 989898 to get your free info kit from Birch Gold now.
Message and data rates may apply.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
Hi, I'm glad you could make it.
Wow, your house looks amazing.
Thanks. We just had our whole house painted by Peak Painting. They even refinished all of our cabinets.
They did a beautiful job. I really like the colors.
They had their in-house designer help me with my color selection. The whole process was so easy. You should have them do a free estimate at your house. Just go to peakpainting.com to book an appointment. That's peakpainting.com.
I'm pulling it up on my phone right now.
Hi, I'm Seth Peak.
And I'm Ryan Peak.
And we're the Peak Brothers. From cabinet painting to interior painting.
Exterior painting, both residential and commercial.
We're your go-to family-owned and operated painting company serving all of Slo County. We look forward to working with you. To learn more and book your appointment, visit Peak Painting at peakpainting.com.
Painting services come with a 9-year labor and materials warranty. Some exclusions apply. Contact peakpainting.com for details. That's Peak Painting, peakpainting.com.
The Sound Off lines are open at 238-5775, 238-KPRL. The North County's listening to you on Sound Off.
Welcome back to Sound Off. Today I've got attorney Mike Nolan and political insider Eric Gorham. We are talking about everything dealing with the Trump assassination attempt, some of the rhetoric, some of the things going on. And Mike, one thing I want to ask you, what do you think, you know, how much do you think it is impacting what has happened here? This idea, there was this constant mantra, if you support Trump, there's something wrong with you. You're deranged. He's a danger to democracy, the republic. He is the new Hitler. Do you believe that has an impact on what has happened here?
I think a lot of people have sympathy with Trump, who were kind of on the fence. I also believe that the mantra that repeated for the last 9 years, that Trump was the most horrible person in the world, and you know, it was the end of civilization as we know it. It was going to build up. Imagine, you know, we're talking about how old the shooter was, 20 years old. How old was he in 2016 or 2015? Mm-hmm. You know, when this was just coming over the television all the time. And I think at a certain point, this caused people to take a breath. I think it probably had the most impact on Donald Trump himself. Winston Churchill said there's nothing more exhilarating than when he was writing about being in the British Army, nothing more exhilarating than having people shoot at you without effect. And Trump, though, I think if I was Donald Trump...
We're having trouble hearing you again.
Oh,
I'm sorry. If I was Donald Trump, I'd be asking myself every morning,
am I alive? Am I dreaming? Is this a is this like a Twilight Zone?
Right. Where, you won the lottery. You know,
yeah. Am I actually lying dead somewhere? And like the bridge at Owl Creek by Bret Hart's story. So there, that has to affect you. And I believe that he's going to be a better person because of that. And the he's acting much, you can see, as a better candidate.
Right.
And that's what scares the Democrats more than anything.
And, you know, some are still doubling down. We have our, Eric, you've seen the Tom Folks. Tom Folks is the head of the Democratic Central Committee.
He's the chair of the Central Committee, and they, a few years ago, basically had a coup, and the Progressive Party took over the local Central Committee here. And he, it's interesting to me because I've watched his strategies over the last year, and it's been one of, let's pretend we're that Kennedy Democrats. We all know they're not. I mean, the people in there are far, far to the left. And but then with this shooting, Tom doubles down way to the left, and he's no longer this, you know, he's basically, you know, he put out a statement online about Reichstag, I guess it is, if I'm saying that right.
Reichstag fire?
Yeah, he put that out there, and it's really a doubling down effect. It's just like now we're comparing, you know, back to Trump's Hitler, etc. And he put it out somewhat vaguely. He didn't bring a bunch of Trump stuff into it, but it's obvious what he's talking about. And to really double down like that as the chair of a Democratic committee here in this county, we're about a 50-50 county. It does not make sense. And a lot of the people he could be appealing to is what, you know, many people would call more of a rhino Republican or a middle-of-the-line Republican and a middle-of-the-line Democrat. And when you go off on these tangents about Hitler, especially after everything that's just happened in the last few weeks, do you think that's going to have a good effect, Tom? And, you know, Tom, I think, you know, he's kind of that old Adam Hill, Tom Folks, Bruce Gibson, that whole diatribe of the far left that, you know, I have those pictures of them holding the sign, but they've been so good at pretending they're not. Yes. And then just to cave this week on this stuff is amazing to me.
His point in his little post is that, you know, Hitler benefited from this terrible fire, insinuating, you know, Hitler caused the fire, benefited from it, basically trying to say Trump has caused this, he did this, and now he's benefiting from it, but, you know, trying to tie him to Hitler right after someone tried to kill him, right after he only lived because he looked the other way, and trying to make it look like it was set up by Trump.
Yeah, that's not a winning winning strategy, and I suspect, though, that he should be more focused on keeping Joe Biden as the nominee, because that I saw where Adam Schiff came out against Biden to be the nominee, and but nobody has a candidate to replace him.
Right,
and it's the and Biden is getting working very hard to get the support of the progressive Democrats, and they're Bernie Sanders lined up. They're the ones supporting him. Mm-hmm. Kamala Harris, she's supporting him totally because she knows if they get rid of Joe, they're going to get rid of me next.
Right.
It's got to be Joe and Kamala, and after the convention, then Joe can make his decision.
It has been amazing, not to get off on that sidetrack, but Kamala, just her doing basically nothing in the last 3 years, you know, even during the election, she never really prepped herself to succeed. And it's showing now, where if she would have maybe did some stuff and became more popular. I mean, she's not a popular person, really never has been. And when she was running for the ticket, went into 2020, it was, people did not, I mean, what was she had 1% on, you know, it's interesting that she hasn't tried to groom herself a little bit, and the Democrats have not tried to groom her. They've kind of left her off to the side as this very weak vice president.
But she's tight with the progressive wing of the Democratic Party, and the progressive wing controls the Democratic National Committee.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, you see these congressmen coming out against Joe Biden. Years ago, if members did that, well, those people control delegates.
Mm-hmm.
They don't control delegates anymore. It's the National Committee will make the rules, that will renominate Joe Biden. And I haven't seen any of the National Committee buckle under any of this pressure. Instead, they're going forward for an early vote, early August, to confirm Joe Biden as their nominee and Kamala as the vice president.
And, you know, she stands for women's rights and strong women, but she's a woman who slept her way to the top. How is that someone that we're pushing? And J.D. Vance's comment that we have the cat women, the women without children that love their cats, moving, trying to tell women how to live, I thought it was very interesting. What did you think? What do you both think of J.D. Vance as the running mate?
I personally, I only know a little bit about him. I've been trying to research him a little bit, so I don't really have a strong opinion either way at this point, to be honest with you.
Yeah, J.D. Vance of Harvard Law, Harvard. He met his wife at law school at Ivy League education, but a poor middle class Appalachian family in from Ohio. He's worked hard for everything he's got. He was ambivalent, maybe even opposed Trump in 2016, but over time, I read where he was really upset at what they did to Justice Kavanaugh and his nomination, what the Senate did, and how they tried to destroy his character. And his wife was had been a clerk for Brett Kavanaugh, and they've been friends. They were friends. So I think that caused him to wise up. What I've seen about Vance, I like. He doesn't. He says what he thinks. I've got friends who are cat women who are very nice people who have lots of cats, and they some of them are conservative. But there is a point. I've read articles where all the main people who are running Europe. None of them have kids, you know. They never had children. The president of France, he married his eighth grade teacher, and no kids. Is her children are his age, and you go through the leaders in the elite. Very few children.
No children,
and they're all going to be lonely people when they get old.
And J.D. Vance's his argument is when you have children and that your children are important to you, as he said, Donald Trump's definitely are, you want to make the world a better place for your children. And that was part of the argument against the people he called the cat people, the childless cat people.
There's a segment of society that are very unhappy. And I think it's Tucker Carlson said, unhappy white women are the backbone of the Democratic Party, and that's not a good idea or of philosophy to take care of a country.
Right,
just the unhappiness and always having being a victim. I would think that's, I'm sorry, Eric, go ahead.
No, I was just, he made me think back the last, you know, through BLM, through everything else, it's been unhappy 30 to 40-year-old white women that have really taken center stage on a lot of the current issues in the last 10 years and had the big voice behind really the progressive party and a lot of these progressive ideas.
Yeah, no, it's true. There's unhappy, but be honest, there's some unhappy white men too.
Oh yeah.
And this is where, if you live in the minority community, the people of color, there's a joy and a happiness in life that is inconsistent with the academic leadership in the Democratic Party. Which the one point I want to say is, when was Joe Biden and Kamala Harris? Neither one went to an Ivy League school. When was the last time the Democrats nominated for re-election two candidates for president and vice president who didn't go to an Ivy League school? And the answer? Never. That's never happened.
Right.
They have to have, and basically, can't we have somebody from Harvard on the ticket? Can't we have somebody who went to Yale? And that's Gavin Newsom's problem. He only went to Santa Clara. Good school, but it's not Ivy League. The schools that Kamala and Joe went to. Good schools, but it's not the Ivy League elite. And that's one reason why they hate Vance, because he is Ivy League, and he knows when they're full of it.
And I've gone to both the, as a reporter, I've covered both the Democratic barbecues, the Republican barbecues, and I will tell you, it's usually a little bit more, you are right, they're a little bit happier, they're having a little bit more fun at the Republican, but one of the biggest parties this county has is the CoLab, which is usually mm-hmm. a fairly conservative. That's one of the most well-attended. I think they'll have 800, 1,000 people, and they're not talking politics generally. They're all walking around right. laughing and joking and having a good time.
Well, what I found interesting, too, just on that same note, is, you know, with the fair coming up, we do the booth, and the Dems usually, they didn't do their booth last year, but it's funny because we have a very lively booth. The Republican booth is there's people in and out. There's actually a lot of kids. You'll be surprised by the amount of probably 15 to 23-year-old kids that come through there. And when you go over the Dems booth, and I'm not, this is an honest, this is just how it is. They're reading books. They're not looking up. You can go stand there and look at their material, and they will not look up from their books. And they have a donation thing out there, and that's about it. We'll put some papers out. We'll read some books to make sure nobody steals our donations, and we won't engage with the public. And it's a weird thing just here in this county at the fair. The night and day difference is, you know, one booth, we're having a lot of fun. Kids are coming in. They're taking their pictures. They're buying gear. They're doing a lot of different things. And the other booth is just almost dead to the world. And it's like, why do you even man it? And maybe it's why they didn't have it last year.
And remember, the other interesting thing is the media coverage. The media coverage last year of the fair was, oh, my gosh, they have a Trump cutout. That means they're anti-American. And this guy, or 2 years ago, and just trashing people for even being near a Trump cutout. He's anti-America. He's like Hitler. And you can't be near him. I will tell you, I was at Walmart the other day, I have to admit. I was at Walmart in line, and the stunning thing was somebody said something about Trump. The clerk said she was voting for Trump and she believes in Trump. People were walking around with Trump hats, and it was night and day to the way it was before the assassination attempt, when people were afraid to say they like Trump.
Right.
Yeah, right, right. I've had lunch the other day in the downtown Dixon's, a great little bar there, and they had a Trump flag flying from the post, and it was, wow, this is in the classified the San Francisco Bay Area, and they were proud for Trump. And so I'm seeing more of that too, very much. That's the point. The Republicans are united and the Democrats are divided. That's how you can tell who's winning the election. Just as an objective observer, and that there's a civil war going on in the Democratic Party, and what it's about is who controls the party. Is it Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, the progressives, or is it Nancy Pelosi, Adam Schiff, and the more let's pretend to be moderate Democrats? And we'll see how that. I know how that'll play out. The progressive wing of the Democratic Party is going to win, and the I get so upset that you have these congressmen who are telling us that Joe Biden's too old, and the first senator who said that is 77 years old, the senator from Vermont, and the first member of the House of Representatives, Lloyd Doggett of Texas, came out against Trump. He's 77 years old. And you want to say, why are you doing this?
Well, I think it'll be interesting to see if they can rally behind Joe. And if so, how authentic will it be? Because I think right now, if they can do that, if they can get behind a candidate, will it be authentic or not? Because we've seen a lot lately. It's really just rah-rah, and it's kind of obvious that that's what all it is. Trump has kind of that big wave behind him, and Joe just has that kind of rah-rah, we're going to do this or that, or we're going to unite, but it's very unauthentic. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. I mean, they have a few months to turn things around. Trump needs to keep it going, and I think he can at this point. I think he has the ability to keep that wave getting building and building and building, but can the Dems and the Progressive Party actually be authentic on this one? I'm not sure they can.
We're going to take I'll get back to you when we get back. We're going to take a break from our sponsors, and then we'll be back with more with Mike and Eric.
Hello, my name is Barry Oxford, president of BDO Financial on Main Street in Templeton. For over 30 years, our focus has been principal-protected and tax-advantaged retirement plan development. We believe that education and knowledge is power. Did you know the 2017 tax cuts end in 2 years and taxes will be a lot higher for all of us? That's knowledge. There's never been a better time than now to convert to a Roth IRA. We are the only ones on the Central Coast that can do a Roth conversion without reducing your principal. And that's all tax-free. Order your no-cost Roth conversion estimate at BDOfinancial.com and divorce the IRS without ever reducing your principal. That's BDOfinancial.com or call 805-434-6971. That's 805-434-6971. Now that's power. Accountants and financial professionals are more than welcome too.
Do you use propane for your home or business? Family-owned and operated Delta Liquid Energy has provided local area residents with dependable and courteous propane service since 1936. From home heating and cooking to powering your irrigation engine pump or forklift, propane can do it all. Don't forget their location in Paso Robles refills propane bottles of all sizes Monday through Saturday and has a dump station for your RV. To learn more, call Delta Liquid Energy, 805-239-0616, or go online to deltaliquidenergy.com.
Little darling, here comes the sun. Yep, it's that time again, and you'll be splashing around in your pool. Are you ready? Stop by Stove and Spa Center in Atascadero and stock up on premium pool care products from BioGuard to properly maintain your pool the quick and easy way. Choose from convenient, easy-to-use pool care systems or a host of individual products and accessories to get that sparkling, clear pool water you love. Visit Stove and Spa Center in Atascadero for advice and all the BioGuard products you need, little darling.
Hey, Paso Robles, it's Jimmy Purdy with Shifting Gears Auto Repair, and it's time to smooth out your ride. With all the road repairs happening around town, your suspension and alignment might be taking a beating. So bring your vehicle down to Shifting Gears Auto Repair at 1621 North River Road. Our expert technicians will give your suspension and alignment a thorough checkup to keep you driving comfortably and safely. Don't let those bumpy roads ruin your ride. Schedule your next appointment today at 805-238-6202 or online at shiftinggears805.com.
Own a Mac or Windows computer? Knology has what you need. Whether it's an upgrade, repair, or data transfer, Knology is your local one-stop repair store. If it's components you want, Knology has cables, adapters, and hard-to-find computer parts. Have questions? Knology has the answers. Give them a call at 805-226-5200. Serving the Central Coast for nearly 15 years, Knology Computers, 1740 Spring Street, Suite C, next to DK Donuts in Paso Robles.
Welcome back to Sound Off. My name is Karen Vealy. I am the host of Sound Off on Wednesday and Thursday afternoon, and I'm also an investigative reporter with Cal Coast News. Go to Cal Coast News. There is no paywall, and it's the best place. It's the only place in this county for true investigative reporting. We also cover local news, city council meetings, etc. Today I have attorney Mike Nolan and Eric Gorham, a political insider. Mike, you were starting a statement when I cut you off.
Oh, I think I was saying that whether or not you have can muster the effort to have a booth at the Mid-State Fair in Paso Robles is a sure indication of how well your party's doing. I've been there. I've done that. It was like, oh, I have to do the fair booth. And I've done it up here. I did it in San Luis Obispo up here in Woodland, California. And you meet a lot of people that way. It's a way for party people to meet real people, fairgoers, right. You know. And so
It's interesting because their political, you know, whoever's running's not at those booths, you know. And what Karen was alluding to earlier is they would come by and, you know, the Tribune or someone would take a picture of a candidate shaking hands out in front, and they'd make sure Trump was in the back. You know, the candidate has no control over RPSLOC's booth, you know, and people want Trump's a big that cutout. People come and take their pictures with all day long. Candidates, it's not their choice. They should come and they should meet, you know, conservatives and everybody at the fair. But yeah, they were really being smeared because, you know, the Tribune would come by and make sure they had Trump behind and say, oh, look, they're far right, whatever. And whether that was true or not was irrelevant. They were doing it purposely and trying to mislead the public.
I remember in 1976, I was at the Democratic booth in Pastor Oval, and who came up but State Senator Bob Nimmo and his wife. And we, you know, the Republican candidate for state senate, the Republican booth was just down a couple steps away, and we got up, and other people were manning it, and I was able to have a very long conversation with him and his wife, and we were laughing, we're joking about politics. I mean, that was a great thing. Bob of Senator Nimmo was a really class act. And and later I found out some Democrats were, well, we didn't think our guys at the booth would spend their time talking to a Republican. And I had gone to school with his daughters, the idiots. And that was the first beginning, the inclination that the old John F. Kennedy Democratic Party was not the party of the future for the Democrats anymore. The booth was great. The candidates should go there. They should walk around.
Oh yeah.
Good to be seen.
Yeah. And you know, if you're an elected, you are representing all of us. So I would be kind of on your side on that. You should be able to go to either booth, talk to some people. I mean, you are the elected, whatever your party is. And I know in this day and age, you know, probably a lot of people don't agree with me standing there, but why not? We need to work together. And if we can't, I mean, we're getting to the point where we can't. And it's, you know, you're seeing that in California with everything that's happened over the last 15, 16 years, becoming a one-party state and not looking at the other side anymore.
Well, it's just not listening. That's what I'm waiting for the Democrats to apologize to the Republicans who have been for the last 3 years saying Joe Biden's too old to serve a second term.
Right.
No, you're a horrible person to say that. And then all of a sudden, 10 days ago, oh, God, he's right.
Yeah, he's horrible.
And you know, it's not his age. It's his competency.
Right.
It's not his age at all. It's that he can't, you know, and the idea I need to go to, you know, he needs to stop doing things at a certain time of night. I have a friend that works at one of the senior...
care?
Is that really a care?
Convalescent home or something?
Is that a convalescent, but it's like a senior living facility?
I feel like we're playing charades.
Yeah, and they have a thing they call sundowners. Mm-hmm. And people that are in any form of, you know, memory loss, sometimes they'll be fine all day, but around 5 o'clock in the evening, they often start getting not very bright and sometimes very angry. And it's an issue with people that are starting to have memory issues, because I've known people that are in their 80s that are sharp as tacks, and then you'll know somebody in their 70s that is having trouble.
Yeah, no, my grandmother had that, and I remember going to Danish care in Atascadero, and she was just perplexed. How'd you get here, honey? And I was like, but she thought she was on a cruise ship. Everybody that was there with her was past, but they go back to their youth, their golden days, or their not golden days. Their
yes, you're right. Yeah. No, my mom she lived with us, and you know, she declined. And what happens is you go gradually, then all of a sudden, suddenly,
yeah, you're gone
with your mind type of thing, And then for a serious moment, how does this play out to our friends and enemies around the world when they're seeing this? And I'm not, I wouldn't be surprised if people see there, this is an opportunity for them to do what they want because the administration is so distracted right now. That's a serious fear I have.
No,
and
you just wonder who's really in charge a lot of times when stuff like this is going on. You know, if Joe was to win another 4 years, who's actually running things? I know to some degree the president's being briefed, and to a large degree being briefed and making decisions, but at some point, is he making those decisions?
Well, you know how administration works. The president makes the decisions, but the staff presents the options.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you always, and what you do is this is not just President Biden, it's any president.
Right.
You form the options so that they always pick.
No, exactly.
The way you want them to pick.
And you hope you can have a president that can see through some of that and know that there's more options to be had and demand more from their staff. I don't see that with Biden at this point with his cognitive abilities.
And I would say that was true with Trump. Too often he believed his staff. It was also, Obama was also that kind of president who, if the staff gave him something he didn't like, he just said, no, I'm not going to do that.
Right.
And so presidents at their best have that ability, that self-confidence, to say, no, we're not going to do that. As opposed to when you're really in a defensive, unsure, insecure time.
I look at
the danger arises.
Yeah, the decisions that need to be made over national defense, these very serious decisions, and are you just going to believe what staff has to say? Is it going to be a general telling you what needs to be done? Is it going to be low level staff? I mean, it's just, you know, I see somebody like Biden, and I could be reading way too much into this, but you could probably form that relationship. He probably has relationships, and is he going to listen to the right people and have the ability to say, wait, this doesn't make sense. I need to talk to whoever that may be to make a rational decision. And it is scary to me when it comes to national defense, when we look at what China's doing, when we look at what Russia's doing.
Iran.
We need to be strong, and is he going to make the right decision?
Right, and that's the part of the problem of this is that the Democratic strategy has been just to say that Trump is a horrible person, and it's there. He's a
right.
horrible person. That's the election. And the attempt of assassination, they can't use that anymore. Besides, it wasn't really working.
Right.
Oh, we have to talk about issues? Well, let's talk about the border. Well, no, there's nothing wrong with the border. Let's talk about inflation. Oh, no, there's nothing wrong with inflation. And they've lost the ability to grapple with the hard decisions that, you know, people would that a politician has to make in order to convince people to vote for them.
And when you look at a lot of the media, it's kind of been smoke and mirrors on those issues. Like, you know, when it comes to inflation, when it comes to all these different things, it's the best it's ever been. I mean, this is more commentators than news, but on the left, but it's just like, really? Like, do you think we don't know how much a loaf of bread costs 4, 5, 6 years ago, as opposed to now, because the prices of things have skyrocketed? And I don't buy a lot of junk food, but I walked through a junk food aisle the other day, and I was amazed at how much that stuff costs. And it's horrible food for you, but I was just amazed. I know what it used to cost when I used to eat it in my, you know, years and years ago, and I was just like, wow, how do people afford this? And, you know, you can't afford vegetables, but you can afford a, you know, a $3 bag of M&M's, so I don't know.
Hey, Mike, I want to thank you very much for coming on the show. It was a great conversation today.
Oh, yeah. No, go ahead.
My pleasure. M&M's have gone up way expensive.
right? They're going to have to add another M to that to make it worthwhile.
And Eric, thank you so much for coming on the show. I think it's an important topic.
Oh, yeah.
And it's been one of the most incredible political weeks of my lifetime.
KPRL and 99.3 FM was brought to you by Farm Supply. Serving your fencing, irrigation, and livestock needs since 1950. Farm Supply, for the farmer in you.
AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.